Because it was a head wound, they gave Tally a neural exam, waving a glowing red pointer back and forth while they tracked her eye mass. The test seemed pretty retarded, but the warden said it proved she didn't have a concussion or brain damage. Paris told a story about when he walked into a glass door at Lily and Russell Mansion and had to stay awake or die, and they all laughed. Then the wardens asked a few questions about the tricking uglies who'd come across the river that night and caused all the trouble. Did you know any of them? Tally sighed, not really wanting to get into it. It was totally shaming to be the cause of the uglies' party crashing. But it was middle pretties asking, and you couldn't blow them off. They always knew what they were doing, and it would be bogus to tell a lie straight to their calm, authoritative faces. Yeah, I kind of remembered one of them, Croy. He was from the smoke, wasn't he, Tally? She nodded, feeling stupid wearing the smoky sweater with dirt and blood all over it. It was all Valentino Mansion's fault for switching the dress code. There was nothing more bogus than still being in a costume after you'd left a party. Do you know what he wanted, Tally? Why was he here? She looked at Paris for help. He was hanging on every word, his luminous eyes bugging wide. It made her feel important. She shrugged. Just ugly tricks, that's all. Showing off in front of his friends, probably. Which sounded bogus. Croy didn't live in Uglyville after all. He was a Smoky, from out in the wild between cities. The two with him might have been city kids just tricking, but Croy had definitely had a plan. But the wardens only smiled and nodded, believing her. Don't worry. It won't happen again. We'll be keeping an eye on you to make sure it doesn't. She smiled back at them, and they took her home. When Tally made it to her room, there was a ping from Paris, who'd gone back to the party. Guess what? He yelled. Crowd sounds and music bled in around the words, making Tally wish she'd gone back to the bash, even with sprayed-on skin all over her forehead. She frowned and flopped onto her bed as the message continued. When I got back, the Crims had already voted. They thought it was totally bubbly that real-life specials were at the party, and our dive off the tower got 600 millihellens from Zane. You are so Crim. See you tomorrow. Oh yeah, and don't get that scar erased until everyone's seen it. Best friends forever. As the message ended, Tally felt the bed spin a little. She closed her eyes and let out a long, slow sigh of relief. Finally, she was a full-fledged Crim. Everything she'd ever wanted had come to her at last. She was beautiful, and she lived in a new pretty town with Paris and Shay and tons of new friends. All the disasters and terrors of the last year, running away to the smoke, living there in pre-rusty squalor, traveling back to the city through the wilds, somehow all of it had worked out. It was so wonderful, and Tally was so exhausted that belief took a while to settle over her. She replayed Paris's message a few times, then pulled off the smelly, smoky sweater with shaking hands and threw it into the corner. Tomorrow, she would make the hole in the wall recycle it. Tally lay back and stared at the ceiling for a while. A ping from Shay came, but she ignored it, setting her interface ring to sleep time. With everything so perfect, reality seemed somehow fragile, as if the slightest interruption could imperil her pretty future. The bed beneath her, Komachi Mansion, and even the city around her, all of it felt as tenuous as a soap bubble, shivering and empty. It was probably just the knock to her head causing the weird missingness that underlay her joy. She only needed a good night's sleep, and hopefully no hangover tomorrow, and everything would feel solid again, as perfect as it really was. Tally fell asleep a few minutes later, happy to be a Crim at last. But her dreams were totally bogus. Zane. So there was this beautiful princess. She was locked in a high tower, one with stone walls and cold, empty rooms that couldn't talk. There was no elevator or even fire stairs, so Tally wondered how the princess had gotten up there. But there she was, at the top. No bungee jacket and fast asleep. The tower was guarded by a dragon. It had jeweled eyes and hungry, cruel features, and moved with a brutal sadness that made Tally's stomach churn. Even dreaming, she recognized exactly what the dragon was. It was a cruel pretty, an agent of special circumstances, or maybe a bunch of them, all rolled up into one gray and silk-scaled serpent. And you couldn't have this dream without a prince. He made it past the dragon, not so much slaying as creeping, finding chinks in the ancient stone wall to slip his fingers into because it was old and crumbling. He climbed the tower's daunting height easily, sparing only an amused look down at the dragon, which had been distracted by a host of playful rats scurrying through its claws. The prince made it through the high stone window and swept the princess into a kiss, which woke her up. And that was the whole story. Getting back down and past the dragon didn't turn out to be an issue, because this was a dream and not a movie or even a fairy tale, and it was all over with one big kiss, a classic happy ending. Except for one thing. The prince was totally ugly. Tally woke up with a throbbing head. Catching her reflection in the mirror wall, she remembered that the headache wasn't just a hangover, and discovered that getting kicked in the head was not pretty-making. As the wardens last night had warned might happen, the sprayed-on skin above her eye had turned an angry red. She'd have to go to a surge office to get the scar completely erased. But Tally decided not to fix it yet. Like Paris had said, it did look really criminal. She smiled, remembering her new status. The scar was perfect. There was a mountain of pings from other crims, drunken congratulations, and reports of more wild behavior as the party had gone on, though nothing as bubbly as her dive off the tower with Paris. Tally listened to the messages with eyes closed, sinking into the crowd noises in the background, loving how connected she was to the others even though she'd come home early. That's what being voted into a clique meant, knowing you had friends whatever you did. Zane had left 3 messages in all, the last one asking if Tally wanted to have breakfast this morning. He didn't sound as drunk as the rest of them, so maybe he was already awake. When she pinged him, he answered, "How are you?" "Face missing," she said. "Did Paris tell you how my head got bonked?" "Yeah, you were actually bleeding?" "Very." "Whoa." Zane's voice was breathy in her ear, his usual cool overwhelmed. "Nice dive, though. Glad you didn't, you know, die." Tally smiled. "Thanks." "So, did you read the weirdness about the party?" There'd been a news ping among Tally's messages, but she hadn't felt up to reading. "What weirdness?" "Someone hacked the mail yesterday and sent out that new invitation, the one that changed the dress code to costumes. Everyone on the Valentino Bash Committee thought it was someone else who'd done it, so they all just went along. But nobody knows who actually wrote it. Dizzying, huh?" Tally blinked, the room suddenly out of focus. Dizzying was right. The world seemed to turn around her, as if she were inside the stomach of something big and out of control. Only uglies did stuff like hack mail. And she could only think of one person who would want the Valentino party turned into a costume bash. Croy, with his cruel pretty mask and weird offers. Which meant it all had to do with Tally Youngblood. "That is deeply bogus, Zane." "Totally. You hungry?" She nodded, feeling her head begin to throb again. Out of the window, the Garbo Mansion party towers rose up, tall and spindly. Tally stared at them, as if fixing her gaze could make the world less spinning. She had to be overreacting. Everything wasn't about her, after all. It could have just been pointlessly tricking uglies, or someone on the Valentino Bash committee going brain missing. But even if it had been simply a mistake, Croy had to have been ready with that costume. In the rusty ruins and wilderness where Smokies hid, there weren't any holes in the wall. You had to make your own things, which took time and effort. And Croy hadn't chosen just any costume. Tally remembered the cold, jeweled eyes and felt faint. Maybe food would fix her. Yeah, deeply hungry. Let's have breakfast. They met in Denzel Park, a pleasure garden that snaked from the center of New Pretty Town down to Valentino Mansion. The mansion itself was hidden by trees, but the transmission tower on top was visible, the old-fashioned Valentino flag whipping in the cold wind. In the garden, the damage from the night before was mostly cleared up, except for a few blackened patches left by the bashers' bonfires. A maintenance robot hovered above one circle of ashes, turning the soil over with careful movements of its claws, spraying seeds into the scorched earth. Zane's suggestion of a picnic had raised Tally's eyebrows, a motion that was totally ouch, but walking down in the fresh air did help clear her head. The pills the wardens had given her muted the pain of her wound, but had no effect on her general fuzziness. The rumor in New Pretty Town was that doctors knew how to fix hangovers, but kept the cure a secret on principle. Zane arrived on time, breakfast bobbing slowly behind him in the cool breeze. As he grew near, his eyes widened at the scar on her forehead. One of his hands reached out, almost as if he wanted to touch it. "Pretty bogus, huh?" she said. "Totally criminal-looking," he said, still wide-eyed. "Not so many Millihellens, though, is it?" He looked thoughtful for a moment. "I wouldn't measure it in Hellens. I'm not quite sure what I'd use instead, though. Something bubblier." Tally smiled. Paris had been right about not fixing her face right away. In his fascination with the scar, Zane was extra beautiful, and his expression gave her a tingly feeling, like being at the center of everything, but without the spinning. Zane's costume surge had worn off. His lips returned to normal, pretty fullness. Still, he always looked extreme in daylight. His face was all contrasts, his chin and cheekbones sharp, his forehead high. His skin was the same olive as everyone's, but in the sun, against his dark hair, it somehow looked pale. The operation guidelines wouldn't let you have jet black hair, which the committee thought was too extreme, but Zane dyed his with calligraphy ink. On top of that, he didn't eat much, keeping his face gaunt, his stare intense. Of all the pretties Tally had met since her operation, he was the only one whose looks really stood out. Maybe that was why he was the head crim. You had to be different from everyone else to really be a criminal. His gold eyes flickered as they searched for a spot, coming to rest in the dappled shadow of a broad oak tree. They sat down on the grass and leaves, and Tally breathed in the scent of dew and earth. Breakfast settled between them, giving off warmth from the glowing elements that kept the scrambled eggs and hash browns from going cold and slimy. Tally piled up a heated plate with eggs and cheese and slices of avocado and shoved half a muffin into her mouth. Looking up at Zane, she saw that he held nothing but a cup of coffee. She wondered if eating like a greedy pig was a bogus move. But what did it matter? She was a crim now, she reminded herself, all voted on and full-fledged. And Zane had asked her here, after all, wanting to hang out. It was time to stop worrying about being accepted and start enjoying herself. There were worse things than sitting in a perfect park, being closely watched by a beautiful boy. Tally consumed the rest of the muffin, which was totally steaming inside and marbled with half-melted chocolate, and picked up her fork to attack the eggs. She hoped that the breakfast had some calorie purgers packed with it. They worked better if you took them right after eating, and she was going to eat a lot. Maybe losing blood made you starving. "So last night, who was that guy?" Zane asked. Still chewing, Tally only shrugged, but he waited patiently for her to swallow. "Just some crashing ugly," she finally said. "Figured that. Who else would specials be chasing? I mean, was he someone you knew?" Tally looked away. It was embarrassing to have your ugly life follow you across the river, at least in person. But Paris had heard her telling the wardens about it last night, so lying to Zane would be bogus. "Yeah, I guess I knew him. From the smoke. This guy called Croy." An odd look passed over Zane's face. His gold eyes stared into the distance, searching for something. A moment later, he nodded. "I knew him too." Tally froze, her fork halfway to her mouth. "You're kidding." Zane shook his head. "But I thought you never ran away," Tally said.
"No, I didn't."
He pulled up his legs and hugged his knees with one long arm, taking a sip of coffee. "Not any farther than the Rusty Ruins, anyway. But Croy and I were friends back when we were littlies, and we lived in the same ugly dorm."
"That's funny."
Tally finally took a bite of eggs, chewing them slowly. The city had a million people in it, and Zane had known Croy.
"What are the odds of that?" she said softly.
Zane shook his head again.
"Not a coincidence, Tallywah."
Tally stopped chewing, the eggs tasting funny in her mouth, like everything was going to get all spinning again. The world had gone totally missing on coincidences lately.
"How do you mean?"
Zane leaned forward.
"Tally, you know that Shay lived in my dorm, right? Back when we were uglies?"
"Sure," she said. "That's how she hooked up with you guys after coming here." Tally paused a moment, then felt a realization starting to fall slowly into place. Memories from the smoke always came back at a brain-missing pace, like bubbles rising up through some thick, viscous liquid.
"Out in the smoke," she said carefully, "Shay introduced me to Croy. They were old friends. So, you three all knew one another."
"Yeah, we did,"
Zane grimaced, as if something rotten had crawled into his coffee. Tally looked down at her food unhappily. As Zane continued, it was just like the night before, the whole bogus story of the past summer pushing uncomfortably back into her head.
"There were six of us in my dorm," he said. "We called ourselves Crims back then, too. We did all the usual ugly tricks, sneaking out at night, hacking the dorm minders, coming across the river to spy on new pretties."
Tally nodded, remembering Shay's stories about before the two of them had met.
"And going to the Rusty Ruins?"
"Yeah, after some older uglies showed us how."
He looked up the hill at the towering center of New Pretty Town.
"Being out there makes you realize how big the world is. I mean, 20 million people used to live in that old, rusty city. Compared with that, this place is tiny."
Tally closed her eyes and put her fork onto her plate, her appetite fading. After everything that had happened last night, maybe breakfast with Zane hadn't been such a good idea. Sometimes he seemed to think he was still an ugly, trying to stay bubbly, pushing back against the easy fun of being pretty. That was why he was great at leading the Crims, of course. But one-on-one, he could be dizzy-making.
"Yeah, but the Rusties all died," she said quietly. "There were too many of them. And they were totally stupid."
"I know, I know. They almost destroyed the world," he recited, then sighed.
"But sneaking out to the ruins was the most exciting thing I'd ever done."
Zane's eyes flashed as he said this, and Tally remembered her own trips to the ruins. How the empty majesty of the ghost city had kept every nerve in her body on high alert. The feeling that real danger might be lurking out there, unlike the harmless thrill of a hot air ascent or a bungee jump. She shivered, recalling some of that old excitement as she met Zane's stare.
"I know what you mean. And I knew I'd never go there again after the operation. New pretties don't do anything that tricky." So when I got close to turning 16, I started thinking about leaving the city, going into the wilderness, at least for a while.
Tally nodded slowly. She remembered Shay saying the same things back when they'd met, the words that had started her down the path to the smoke.
And you talk Shay and Croy and the rest of them into coming along? I tried, he laughed. At first they thought I was crazy, because you can't live in the wild. But then we met this guy out there who...
Stop, Tally said. Suddenly, her heart was beating fast, like when you took a purger and your metabolism kicked up to burn the calories. She felt a dampness on her face, the breeze suddenly cold. She felt moisture on her cheeks, but pretty faces didn't sweat.
Tally blinked, her fists clenching until her fingernails drove into her palms. The world had changed somehow. Pinpoints of sunlight cut harshly through the leaves overhead as she tried to take deep, slow breaths. She remembered now that the same thing happened last night, when she'd seen Croy.
Tally? Zane said.
She shook her head, not wanting him to say anything. Not about meeting someone in the rusty ruins.
She found herself speaking quickly to keep him quiet, repeating what Shay had told her.
You heard about the smoke, right? Where people lived like pre-rusties and were ugly for life, so you all decided to go there. But when the time came to run, most of you chickened out. Shay told me about that night. She was all packed and everything, but in the end, she got too scared to go.
Zane nodded, looking down into his coffee.
So you bailed too, didn't you?
Tally said. You were supposed to run away that time?
Yeah, he said flatly. I didn't go, even though the whole thing was my idea. And I became pretty, right on schedule.
Tally looked away, unable to keep herself from remembering that summer. Shay's friends had all run off to the smoke or turned pretty, leaving her alone in Uglyville. That's when she and Tally had met, becoming best friends. And when Shay's second attempt at running away had succeeded, Tally had been sucked into the whole mess. She let out a slow breath, telling herself to calm down. Last summer might have been a nightmare, but it was also why she was a crim now, and not just some boring, brand-new pretty trying to get into a lame, non-bubbly clique. Maybe it had all been worth it to wind up here, pretty and popular. She looked at Zane, his beautiful eyes still staring into the dregs of his coffee, and felt herself relax. She smiled. He looked so tragic sitting there, dark eyebrows arched in despair, still regretting that he'd bailed on running away to the smoke. She reached out to take his hand.
Hey, it's no big deal. It wasn't that great out there. Mostly, it was just getting sunburned and bitten by bugs.
His eyes rose to meet her.
At least you took the chance, Tally. You were brave enough to find out for yourself.
I didn't have a choice, really. I had to go find Shay.
She shivered, pulling her hand away. I'm just lucky I made it back.
Zane moved closer and reached out, his delicate fingers tracing the sprayed-on skin over her scar, his golden eyes wide.
I'm glad you did.
She smiled, touching the back of his hand.
Me too.
Zane's fingers slid into her hair, and he gently pulled her closer. She closed her eyes, letting his lips press against hers, reaching up to feel the smooth, flawless skin of his cheek. Tally's heart was beating hard again, her mind racing even as her lips parted. Reality was shifting around her once more, but this time she liked the feeling. When she'd arrived in New Pretty Town, Paris had warned Tally about sex. Getting too close to other pretties could be overwhelming when you were brand new. It took time to get used to all the gorgeous faces, the perfect bodies, the luminous eyes. When everyone was beautiful, you could wind up falling in love with the first pretty you kissed. But maybe it was time. She had been here a month, and Zane was special. Not just because he led the crims and looked different from everyone else, but the way he tried to stay bubbly, to bend the rules. It made him even prettier than the others somehow. And of all the unexpected turns in the last 24 hours, this was the nicest. Kissing Zane was dizzy-making, but not like she was falling into darkness. His lips were warm and soft and perfect, and she felt safe. After a long moment, the two pulled a little apart, Tally's eyes still closed. She felt his breath against her, his hand warm and soft on the back of her neck. "David," she whispered. Bubbly making. Zane pulled back, his eyes narrowing.
"Oh, I'm sorry," Tally sputtered. "I don't know what..."
As she trailed off, Zane nodded slowly.
"No, that's okay. I didn't mean to..."
Tally started again, but Zane waved her silent, a thoughtful look spreading across his beautiful features. He stared at the ground, pulling up blades of grass between two fingers.
"I remember now," he said.
"Remember what?"
"That was his name."
"Whose name?" Zane spoke in quiet, even tones, as if trying not to wake someone sleeping nearby.
"He was the one who was supposed to take us to the smoke. David."
Tally heard herself gasp softly. Her eyes were squinting, as if the sun had been turned up a notch. She could still feel the ghost of Zane's lips on hers, the warmth where his hands had touched her, but suddenly she was shivering. She took Zane's hand.
"I didn't mean to say that."
"I know, but things come back sometimes." He looked up from the grass, his golden eyes flashing. "Tell me about David." Tally swallowed and turned away.
David.
She could see him now. His funny big nose and high forehead, the handmade shoes he wore, and a jacket made out of dead animal skins sewn together. David had grown up out in the smoke, had never set foot in a city his whole life. His face was ugly from top to bottom, tanned imperfectly by the sun, with a scar that went through his eyebrow. But remembering him sparked something inside Tally. She shook her head, amazed. Somehow she'd forgotten David.
"You met him in the rusty ruins, right?" Zane pressed her.
"No," she said. "I'd heard about him from Shay, and she tried to signal him once, but he never showed up. He was the one who took Shay to the smoke, though."
"He was supposed to take me, too," Zane sighed. "But you went to the smoke on your own, didn't you?"
"Yeah, but when I got there, he and I..." Tally remembered now. It all seemed a million years ago, but she could see herself, her ugly self, kissing David, traveling with him across the wilderness for weeks alone. A weird ping of memory moved through her. How strong and never-ending being with him had felt back then. And then somehow, he'd disappeared.
"Where is he now?" Zane asked. "Did the specials catch him when they took down the smoke?"
She shook her head. Her other memories of David were tricky and faded, but the moment when they had parted was simply...
gone.
"I don't know." Tally felt faint, the world growing unsteady for the 100th time that day. She reached out toward the breakfast tray, but Zane took her hand.
"No, don't eat."
"What?"
"Don't eat anything else, Tally. In fact, take a couple of these."
He pulled a packet of calorie purgers from his pocket. Four had already been punched out.
"It helps if your heart's beating faster."
He punched out two more and bolted them down with a drink of coffee.
"Helps what?" she asked. Zane pointed at his head. "Thinking. Hunger focuses your mind. Any kind of excitement works, actually." He grinned and pressed the packet into her hand. "Like kissing someone new. That works really well."
Tally gazed down at the calorie purgers, uncomprehending. The shiny foil glimmered painfully in the sun, and the packet's edges felt sharp as razors.
"But I've eaten hardly anything. Not enough to gain weight." It's not about losing weight. I need to talk to you, Tally. I need you with me for another minute. I've been waiting for someone like you for a long time. I need you bubbly.
Purgers are supposed to make me bubbly?
They help. I'll explain later. Just trust me, Tallywa. His gaze remained on her, almost crazily intense, like when he explained some new trick idea to the Crims. It could be hard to resist Zane when he was like this, even if he wasn't making any sense.
Okay, I guess.
With clumsy fingers, she punched out two purgers and brought them to her mouth, but hesitated. You weren't supposed to take them if you hadn't eaten. It was dangerous. Back in the rusty days, before the operation, when everyone had been ugly, there had been a disease where people deliberately didn't eat. They were so afraid of getting fat that they got way too skinny, sometimes even starving themselves to death in a world full of food. It was one of the scary things the operation had gotten rid of. But a couple of purgers wouldn't kill her. When Zane handed Tally his coffee, she washed them down, then grimaced at the acid taste.
Strong coffee, huh? He said, grinning.
After a moment, her heart started beating fast, her metabolism kicking up. Her vision stayed sharp. Like the night before, she felt as if a thin film of plastic between her and the rest of the world were being peeled away. She squinted harder in the bright sunlight.
Okay, Zane said. What's the last thing you remember about David?
Tally tried to steady her shaking hands, ransacking her brain to fight through the fog around her ugly memories.
We were all out in the ruins, she said. You remember Shay's story about how we kidnapped her?
Zane nodded, though Shay had more than one way of telling that story. In some versions, Shay had been kidnapped by Tally and the Smokies right from Special Circumstances headquarters. In other versions, she left the city to rescue Tally from the Smokies, and the two of them escaped back to the city together. Of course, Shay's weren't the only stories that change sometimes. Crims always exaggerated stuff about the old days, because making it bubbly was the point. But Tally had a feeling that Zane wanted the truth. The specials had destroyed the smoke, she continued, but there were a few of us still hiding out in the ruins.
The new smoke. That's what the uglies were calling you.
That's right. But how did you know about that? Weren't you pretty by then?
Zane grinned. You think you're the only brand new pretty I ever got to tell me stories, Tallywa?
Oh. Remembering the kiss of a moment before, Tally wondered exactly how Zane had gotten the others to remember their ugly days.
But why did you come back to the city? He asked. Don't tell me Shay actually rescued you.
Tally shook her head.
I don't think so. Did the specials catch you? Did they get David too?
No.
The word reached her lips without hesitation. However fuzzy her memories were, David was still out there somewhere. She knew. In her mind, she could see him clearly now, hiding in the ruins.
Tell me, Tally, why did you come back here and give yourself up?
Zane still held her hand, was squeezing it hard as he waited for an answer. His face was close again, gold eyes luminous in the dappled shade, drinking in everything she said. But somehow, the memories wouldn't come. Thinking about those times was like banging her head against a wall. She chewed her lip.
How come I can't remember? What's wrong with me, Zane?
That's a good question. But whatever it is, it's wrong with all of us.
Who? The Crims?
He shook his head, glancing up at the party spires that loomed over them.
Not just us. Everyone. At least, everyone here in New Pretty Town. Most people won't even talk about when they were uglies. They say they don't want to discuss boring kid stuff.
Tally nodded. She had figured that out pretty quickly about New Pretty Town. Outside the Crims, talking about ugly days was totally fashion missing.
But when you push them, Zane continued, it turns out most of them can't remember.
Tally frowned.
But us Krims always talk about the old days. We were all troublemakers, Zane said, so we have exciting stuff stored in our heads. But you have to keep telling those stories, listening to one another, and breaking the rules. You have to stay bubbly, or you'll gradually forget everything from back then. Permanently.
Returning his powerful gaze, she suddenly realized something.
That's what the Krims are for, isn't it?
He nodded.
That's right, Tally. To keep from forgetting. And to help me figure out what's wrong with us.
How did you... What makes you so different?
Another good question. Maybe I was just born this way. Or maybe it's because I made myself a promise after I chickened out that night last spring. One day, I'm going to leave the city. Pretty or not.
Zane's voice faded on the last words, and he breathed out through his teeth.
It just turned out to be a lot harder than I thought. Things were getting seriously boring there for a while, and I was starting to forget. He brightened. But then you showed up with your screwy stories that don't make sense. Things are definitely bubbly now.
I guess they are.
Tally looked down at her hand in his.
One more question, Zane La.
Sure, he smiled. I like your questions.
Tally looked away, a little embarrassed.
When you kissed me just then, was that to help you stay bubbly and make me remember better? Or was it...
She trailed off, looking nervously into his eyes.
Zane grinned. What do you think?
But he didn't give her a chance to answer. He took her shoulders and pulled her close again and kissed her deeper this time. The warmth of his lips mixing with the strength of his hands on her, the taste of coffee, and the smell of his hair. When it was done, Tally leaned back, breathing hard because the kiss had been totally oxygen missing. But it had made her bubbly, more than the calorie purging pills, or even jumping off the party spire the night before. And she remembered another thing that should have been totally obvious to mention before now, but somehow hadn't been. And it was going to make Zane totally happy.
Last night, Tally said, Croy told me they had something for me, but he didn't say what. He was going to leave it in here in New Prettytown, hidden so the wardens wouldn't find it.
Something from the new smoke?
His eyes grew wide.
Where?
Valentino 317.
Valentino 317.
Wait a second, Zane said. He pulled off her interface ring and then his own and led her deeper into the pleasure garden.
Better lose these, he said. Don't want them following.
Oh, right.
Tally remembered her ugly days, how easy it was to trick the dorm minders.
The wardens last night, they said they were going to keep an eye on me.
Zane chuckled. They're always keeping an eye on me.
He threaded the rings onto two tall reeds, which bowed under the weight of the metal bands.
The wind will move them every now and then, he explained. That way, it won't look like we took them off.
But won't it look weird? Us staying in one place for so long?
It is a pleasure garden, Zane laughed. I've spent my share of time in here.
A nasty ping went through Tally, but she didn't let it show.
What about finding them again?
I know this place. Quit worrying.
Oh, sorry.
He turned to her and laughed. Nothing to be sorry for. This is the best breakfast I've had in ages.
They left the rings and headed down toward the river and Valentino mansion, Tally wondering what they would discover in room 317. In most mansions, each room had its own name. Tally's room in Kamachi was called etc., Shay's was Blue Sky, but Valentino was so old that the rooms had numbers. Valentino's always made a big deal out of stuff like that, sticking to the ancient traditions of their crumbling home.
Tricky place to hide it, Zane said as they approached the sprawling mansion. Easier to keep secrets where the walls don't talk.
That's probably why they hacked a Valentino bash, and not one in some other mansion, Tally said.
Except I had to go and screw everything up, Zane said.
Tally looked at him. You?
We started off down in the stone mansion, but when we couldn't find you guys anywhere, I said we should go up into the new party spire, so the smart walls would find you.
We had the same idea, Tally said.
Zane shook his head. Yeah, well, if we'd all stayed down in Valentino, the specials wouldn't have spotted Croy so fast. He would have had time to talk to you.
So they can listen through the walls?
Yeah, Zane grinned. Why do you think I suggested a picnic on this bogusly cold day?
Tally nodded, thinking it through. The city interface brought you pings, answered your questions, reminded you of appointments, even turned the lights on and off in your room. If special circumstances wanted to watch you, they'd know everything you did and half of what you were thinking. She remembered talking to Croy up in the spire, her interface ring on her finger, the walls catching every word.
Do they watch everybody?
No, they couldn't, and most people aren't worth watching. But some of us get special treatment, as in special circumstances.
Tally swore. The specials had shown up so quickly last night. She'd only had a few minutes with Croy, as if they'd been waiting close by. Maybe they'd already spotted that the party had been hacked. Or maybe they were never very far away from Tally Youngblood. She looked into the trees. Shadows shifted in the wind, and she imagined gray shapes flitting among them.
I don't think last night was because of you, Zane. It was my fault.
How do you mean?
It's always my fault.
That's bogus, Tally, Zane said softly. There's nothing wrong with being special.
His voice trailed off as they passed through the main arch of Valentino Mansion. Within the cool stone walls, it was as silent as a tomb.
The party was still going on when we left, Zane whispered. They probably all just went to bed.
Tally nodded. There weren't even any maintenance robots at work yet. Bits of torn costumes littered the hallways. Spilled drinks filled the air with a sickly sweet perfume, and the floor was sticky underfoot. The glamour of the party had been stripped away, like bubbliness turned into a hangover. Her finger felt naked without an interface ring, bringing back memories of sneaking across the river as an ugly, the terror of being caught. But fear kept her bubbly, her senses sharp enough to hear stray party rubbish shifting in the drafty corridors, to separate the raisiny scent of spilled champagne from the stale funk of beer. Besides their own footsteps, the mansion was silent.
Whoever lives in 317 is going to be asleep, Tally whispered.
Then we'll wake them up, Zane said softly, eyes flashing in the semi-darkness.
The ground floor rooms were all numbered in the 100s, so they looked for a way up. New elevators had been added to the mansion at some point, but without interface rings, the doors wouldn't open for them. A set of stone stairs brought Tally and Zane to the third floor, across from 301. The numbers counted up as they walked down the hall, odds on one side and evens on the other. Zane squeezed her hand when they reached 315. But the next room was numbered 319. They retraced their steps, checking the other side of the hall, but found only doors numbered 316, 318, and 320. Searching the rest of the floor, they found more 320s and the 330s, odd and even, but no Valentino 317.
This is a bubbly puzzle, Zane said, chuckling to himself.
Tally sighed. Maybe it was all a joke.
You think the new Smokies would hack a citywide invitation, sneak across the river, and crash a party just to waste our time?
Probably not, Tally admitted, but she felt something in her starting to fade.
She found herself wondering if this whole expedition was kind of lame, looking for some big secret that Uglies had left behind. Sneaking around in someone else's mansion was pretty bogus, after all. "You think breakfast is still warm?" she asked. "Tally." Zane turned his intense gaze on her. With trembling hands, he pushed her hair behind her ears. "Stay with me." "I'm right here," she said. He drew closer, until his lips almost brushed hers. "I mean, stay bubbly." Tally kissed him, and with the pressure of his lips, the world sharpened again. She pushed the hunger out of her mind and said, "Okay, what about the elevator?"
"Which one?"
She led him back to the space between Valentino 315 and 319. The long expanse of stone wall was interrupted by an elevator door. "There used to be a room here," she said.
"But they got rid of it when they put in the elevator," Zane laughed. "Lazy pretties. Can't climb two flights of stairs."
"So maybe 317 is the elevator now."
"Well, that's bogus," Zane said. "We can't make it come without our rings."
"We could wait around until someone else calls the elevator and slip in." Zane looked up and down the empty hallway, piled with plastic cups and torn paper decorations.
"Hours from now," he said, sighing, "when we won't be bubbly anymore."
"Yeah, not bubbly." A layer of fuzziness was starting to sink across Tally's vision again, and her stomach growled in a food-missing way, which called up the mental image of a warm chocolate muffin. She shook her head to clear it, visualizing a special circumstances uniform instead. Last night, the sight of gray silk had focused her mind, had propelled her after Croy and into the fire stairwell. The whole thing had been a test to see how well her brain was working. Maybe this was another test. A bubbly puzzle, as Zane had said. She stared at the elevator door. There had to be a way inside. Slowly, a memory came to her. It was from back in the ugly days, but not so long ago. Tally remembered falling down a lightless shaft. It was one of the stories that Shay always liked to hear her tell, about how Tally and David had snuck into Special Circumstances headquarters.
"The roof," Tally said.
"What?"
"You can climb down into an elevator shaft from the roof. I've done it."
"Really?"
Instead of answering, Tally kissed him again. She couldn't remember exactly how, but knew that if she just stayed bubbly, it would come back to her.
"Follow me."
Getting up to the roof wasn't as simple as she'd expected. The stairs they had taken up stopped at the third floor. Tally frowned, frustration deadening everything again. In Kamachi Mansion, getting up to the roof was easy. "This is bogus. What do they do if there's a fire?"
"Stone doesn't burn," Zane said.
He pointed at a small window at the end of the hall, sunlight streaming in through its stained glass panels.
"That's the way out."
He strode toward it.
"What?
Climb up the outside wall?"
Zane stuck his head out and looked down, letting out a long whistle. "Nothing like heights to keep you bubbly."
Tally frowned, unsure whether or not she wanted to be that bubbly. Zane pulled himself up onto the sill and leaned out, grasping the top of the window. He stood carefully, slowly, rising until Tally could see only his boots standing on the stone ledge outside. Her heart began to race again, until she could feel it beating in her fingertips. The world became as sharp as icicles. For a long time, his feet were motionless. Then they shuffled closer to the edge, until only Zane's toes rested on the stone, precariously balanced.
"What are you doing up there?"
In answer, his boots lifted slowly into the air. Then Tally heard the muffled sound of soles scrabbling on stone. She stuck her head through and peered up. Above her, Zane dangled from the edge of the roof, his feet swinging and scraping. Then one of his boots found purchase in a crack between the stones, and he hauled himself over and out of sight. A moment later, his face appeared, grinning from ear to ear.
Come on up.
Tally pulled her head in and took a deep breath, placing her hands on the ledge. The stone was rough and cold. The wind whistling through the window made the tiny hairs on her arm stand up.
Stay bubbly, Tally said softly.
She pulled herself up to sit in the window, the stone cold against her thighs, and took a quick glance at the ground. It was a long way down to the scattered leaves and tree roots that would break her fall. The wind picked up, making nearby branches wave, and Tally could see every twig. The smell of pine trees sharpened in her nostrils. Bubbly was not going to be a problem. She slid one foot out onto the ledge, then the other. Standing up was the scariest part. Tally clutched the window frame with one hand as she rose, the other feeling for a handhold on the outside wall. She didn't dare let herself look down again. The cold stone was pocked with holes and cracks, but none seemed large enough for more than fingertips. When her legs had straightened all the way, Tally found herself paralyzed for a moment. She swayed slightly in the breeze, like an unsupported tower built too tall.
Pretty bubbly making, huh?
Zane's voice came from above. Just grabbed a ledge. She tore her gaze from the wall in front of her and looked up. The edge of the roof was just out of reach.
Hey, this isn't fair. You're taller than me.
No problem. He lowered one hand. Are you sure you can hold me? Come on, Tallywah. What's the point of having all those new pretty muscles if you don't use them for anything?
Like getting killed? She said under her breath, but reached up to take his hand.
Her new muscles were stronger than she'd thought, though. With her fingers locked around Zane's wrists, Tally pulled herself easily from the window ledge. Her free hand grasped the roof's edge, and one toe managed to get purchase in a crack in the mansion wall. With a grunt, Tally was up, rolling over the ledge and onto the roof. She sprawled onto the reassuringly solid stone, giggling with the rush of relief that swept through her. Zane grinned. It's true, what I said before. She looked up at him, questioningly.
I've been waiting for someone like you.
Pretties didn't blush. Not in an ugly-making way, at least. But Tally rolled to her feet to hide her reaction. The bubbliness of their death-defying climb had made Zane's gaze too intense. She stood to take in the view. From the roof, Tally could see the spires of New Pretty Town still towering over them, the green trails of pleasure gardens snaking up the central hill. Across the river, Uglyville was already awake. A soccer field full of just-turned uglies swarmed around a black-and-white ball, and the wind carried to her ears the sound of a whistle being furiously blown. The view seemed terribly close and in focus, her nervous system still ringing, echoing from the moment she'd swung from Zane's hand. The stone roof was flat, marked only by the spinning heads of three air vents, the towering transmission mast, and a metal shack no bigger than an ugly's closet. Tally pointed at the ladder. That's right above the elevator. They crossed the roof. In the shack's ancient door, a rust-covered sheet of metal like those that littered the ruins, letters had been painstakingly scratched. Valentino 317.
Very non-bogus, Tally, Zane said, grinning.
He yanked at the door, but a shiny chain snapped taut with a screeched complaint. Tally looked at the device that kept the chain from slipping, racking her still-spinning brain. That's called a padlock, I think. She felt the smooth steel object between her fingers, trying to remember how they worked. They had them in the smoke, to secure stuff that people might steal.
Great. All this, and we still need our rings.
Tally shook her head. Smokies don't use interface rings, Zane. To open a padlock, you need a... She searched her memory for another old word, then found it. There must be a key somewhere.
A key? Like a password?
No. This kind of key is a little metal thing. You stick it in and turn, which makes the lock pop open.
What does it look like?
A flat piece of steel, about as long as your thumb, with teeth. Zane giggled at this image, but started looking around. Tally stared at the door. The shack was obviously much older than the chain that held it shut. She wondered what it had been used for. Leaning close to the narrow gap Zane had opened, Tally sheltered her gaze with both hands and peered into the blackness. Her eyes adjusted slowly until she could make out dark shapes within. There seemed to be a huge pulley and a crude mechanical engine, like the kind they used out in the smoke. The elevator had once moved up and down on a chain. This shack was old. It must have been abandoned after lifters had been invented, which was ages ago. Modern elevators ran on the same principle as hoverboards and bungee jackets, which was a lot safer than dangling from a chain. Tally shivered at the thought. When lifters had been added, the old mechanism must have been left up here on the roof to rust. She yanked at the padlock again, but it held firm. Heavy and crude, the lock looked out of place here in the city. When wardens wanted to secure something, they stuck up a sensor that would tell you to keep out. Only new smokies would have used a padlock made of metal. Croy had told her to come here, so there had to be a key around somewhere. "Another stupid test," she muttered. "A what?" Zane asked. Looking for the key, he'd climbed on top of the shack. "Like Croy dressing up as a special," she explained, "and making us find Valentino 317. The key has to be tricky to get a hold of, because it's all a test. Their point is to make it hard to find this thing that Croy left for me. They don't want us to find it unless we're bubbly." "Or maybe," Zane said, perching on one edge of the shack, "they want the search to make us bubbly, so we're thinking clearly when we find it." "Whatever it is," Tally said and sighed. She felt annoyance rising in her, along with the feeling that this test would never end, that every solution would just lead to another level of problems, like some stupid thumb game. Maybe the smartest move would be to blow it all off and just have breakfast. Why was she trying to prove herself to the new Smokies anyway? They didn't matter. She was beautiful, and they were ugly. But Zane's brain was still spinning. So they'd hide the keys somewhere that would be extra tricky to get to. But what would be trickier than climbing up here? Tally's eyes swept the roof until they found the spindly transmission tower. At its top, 20 stories above them, the Valentino flag whipped in the wind. At the sight of it, the world grew crisp again, and she smiled. Climbing up there. The High Tower. The transmission tower was the newest piece of Valentino Mansion, made of steel painted over with white polymers to keep rust at bay. It was part of the system that trafficked people's interface rings, supposedly to help find anyone who got lost or injured outside a smart building. White struts loomed over Tally and Zane, crisscrossing like a cat's cradle, shining in the sun like porcelain. The tower didn't look hard to climb, except for the fact that it was 5 times as tall as Valentino Mansion, even taller than a party spire. As she stared up into its heights, a low rumble sounded in Tally's stomach. She was pretty sure it wasn't hunger. "At least there's no dragon guarding it," she said. Zane lowered his anxious gaze from the tower. "Huh?" Tally shook her head. "Just something from a dream I had." "You really think the key's up there?" "I'm afraid so." "The new Smokies climbed all that way?" Old memories came back. "No, they could have hoverboarded up the side. Boards can go that high if they stay close enough to a big piece of metal." "You know, we could requisition a hoverboard," Zane said quietly. She looked at him with surprise. He muttered, "Of course, that wouldn't be very bubbly, would it?" "It wouldn't. And anything that flies has a minder. Do you know how to trick a hoverboard safety governor?" "Used to, but I can't remember." "Me either." "Okay, then.
We climb.
Okay, he said, but first. He reached out for Tally's hand, drew her to him, and they kissed again. She blinked once, then felt a grin spreading on her face. Just to keep us bubbly. The first half was easy. Tally and Zane stayed together, climbing opposite sides of the tower, finding ready handholds in the weave of struts and cables. The wind kicked up now and then, playfully tugging at Tally in a way that was nervous-making, but all it took was a quick glance downward to focus her mind. Halfway up, she could already see the whole of Valentino Mansion, the pleasure gardens spread out in every direction, even the hovercar pads atop the central hospital where they did the operation. The river glittered as the sun climbed toward noon, and across the water, in Uglyville, Tally saw her old dorm hulking among the trees. On the soccer field, a few uglies were watching them and pointing, probably wondering who was climbing the tower. Tally wondered how long it would be before someone on this side of the river noticed their ascent and pinged the wardens. With her new muscles, the climb wasn't physically demanding. But as the two of them neared the top, the tower grew narrower, the handholds less sure. The polymer coating was slick, still wet in a few corners where the morning sun hadn't yet dried the dew. Microwave dishes and thick skeins of braided cables crowded the struts, and doubts began to creep through Tally's mind. Was the key really up here? Why would the new Smokies make her risk her life just to pass a test? As the climb grew trickier and the drop more panic-making, Tally found herself wondering how she'd wound up here on this tall and windy spike. The night before, her only goal had been to become a crim, pretty and popular, surrounded by a clique of new friends, and she'd managed to get everything she'd wanted, on top of which, Zane had kissed her, a bubbly development she hadn't even imagined before this morning. Of course, getting what you wanted never turned out the way you thought it would. Being a crim wasn't about being satisfied, and hanging out with Zane apparently involved risking your life and not eating breakfast. Tally had only been voted in last night, and here she was having to prove herself again. And for what? Did she really want to unlock the rusty shack